When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Saturday, October 5th. WWE Bad Blood from Atlanta, Georgia just took place. A host of celebrities and legends at ringside. Probably the most I've ever seen them like show during a PLE. Matt, what were your thoughts?
Love this pay-per-view. Wasn't a fan of Damian Priest, like I texted you. Damian Priest versus Finn Balor, I thought took way too long. It's just like, get out of the ring already. Not to be disrespectful to Damian Priest. But anybody gets pitted against Finn, they've not done a good enough job of building up Finn yet, right? That is the only weak spot in the pay-per-view. The rest of the pay-per-view, especially the main event, was wholly just, to me, bleep.
Yeah, it was definitely bookended by two really strong really strong things. With Punk and Drew at the beginning, The Rock coming in, the Mega Powers, Mega Powers 2.0 at the end. So it was started off amazing, ended amazing. The middle was, you know, is a little meh at times, but I agree with you on the Damian Priest and Finn, and we'll get into that. So first off, we opened up. They opened up with the Hell in a Cell. I think a lot of people were wondering which way surprised. They would go for the last match.
I was very surprised by that because this is supposed to be the final chapter in the CM Punk, Drew McIntyre book, if you will. I took it that way. Mm-hmm. And to give this bloodbath match, like the first on the card, I was excited because that was a match I wanted to see the most, if I'm being honest. If we're just talking about the matches on paper, that was a match on paper I wanted to see most.
Yeah. Do you think if The Rock wasn't there, they probably would have switched it around and had the Hell in a Cell last? Because I think with The Rock, you have to have that last.
I'll argue because Jimmy came back. Mm-hmm. So if you took Jimmy and The Rock out, okay, yeah. But I don't know. Just Cody's entrance and Roman's entrances alone, I'd be lying to you. I'm a former wrestler. I shouldn't be getting goosebumps watching other wrestlers. But I did, and both of their entrances, I'd be lying if I said I didn't.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. And I actually, because at first you see Cody's, it was It was different. It was, you know, it took a minute before you can really tell if they were doing his theme. And then Roman thought that was awesome.
I knew it was because I saw it on all the ESPN highlights.
Right.
And I saw it like the viral video Michael Cole was talking about. I saw it like that same weekend. I was like, holy ish. Cody's getting over. They're playing his edges music in random college football stadiums, like in Central Arkansas, for example. He's getting over. Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. This was one thing I thought as well. Whoa, Christo, let me remove that thumbnail. Man, does anyone miss the OG Tribal Chief music? I do. I think that hurts his pop. I don't get...
No. They went back to it tonight. They went back to his normal... They went back to it tonight. That was his normal music tonight. It wasn't the first two times they brought him back. And they played that bullshit where you had to pause and wait like 5 minutes to get to it.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to it, folks. I'm serious. They gave it to you.
Yeah. So the match, the show opened up. Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, Hell in a Cell. This, to me, was everything Hell in a Cell was supposed to be, right? It's not having Hell in a Cell matches because the name of the pay-per-view is called Hell in a Cell. It's a blood feud where two people... Yep. Other and your final match to blow off the feud. That's what it should be. That's what Triple H did with this match, and it was awesome. I thought it was one of the best Hell in a Cell matches of all time.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Hey, Punk, I watched him on this other podcast. God, I'm the worst for not remembering the name. With O'Shea Jackson Jr. Yeah. Big fan of him. I like his opinions on wrestling, by the way. And I tuned into his podcast for the first time. He had Punk on there. Punk was very clear. He's like, you're going to see two wrestlers using the cell for what is supposed to be used, which is as a weapon. Yeah. Thank God people weren't like hitting the roads and doing their high speed. I'm not trying to be a shitter on AEW. I'm not. I swear, folks, I'm not. But dude, if this was AEW, they'd be hitting the ropes, doing their high spots, jumping on the top rope, and all this other crazy shit that does not make any sense whatsoever as to why the two, not captivities, but the two people that are being captive in a cage are there to begin with, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't, they weren't using it for gymnastics. They were using it for what it's supposed to be, a brutal, violent, finish to, you know, one of the best feuds WWE has had in recent
years. I agree. Did you see Drew's bump when he went for the friggin' Claiborne and missed
on it? On the back?
Oh, my God. Stairs. I was a pretty good athlete when I wrestled. I'm not putting myself over it, but I was. And never in a million years, if you gave me 100 chances to say, Matt, miss your bicycle kick and hit your spine on the second step somehow. There's no way. There's no way I could do that.
Yeah, I'm that was one where I was like, oh, that's permanent damage.
What is he doing? In my head, I'm like, there's no way he just kind of sort of hit it perfectly flat. There's no way.
Yeah.
So kudos to Drew. Oh, huge kudos for me from Drew to Drew, because he hates Punk. We know he hates him in real life, and he did business. And I hope Hunter saw that this guy is willing to do business with anybody. Put over anybody if it means what's best for business.
Yeah. Do you think he still hates Punk? Because Punk has really helped elevate Drew's stock. You know, I mean, Drew has always been a top guy, but now he's like top guy.
I don't know Drew personally. So I don't know, like, he came to TNA when I already retired. So I don't know him personally. I don't know if he's smart enough to see that. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting him down. I just don't know that personally. Yeah. Is he? I hope he is. I hope he's wise enough to see this dude's making me a shitload of money. I hope he sees that. And elevating him, especially in promos. Nobody can go toe-to-toe with CM Punk on a microphone except for two people that I've seen over the last 3 years. MJF and now, I'm sorry, Drew.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's been amazing. His star power has risen so much this year. I feel like he's been the MVP of Raw. He's just been awesome. And Punk, man, he's 45 years old. This is his third real match. I'm not counting the Royal Rumble. Three matches on TV. I'm not counting his house show matches either with Dominic earlier this year. Three matches, went over 30 minutes, brutal match, and produced one of the best Hell in the Cell matches of all time. So props to Punk, you know, for
doing it. I agree with that. I like that you said that was one of the best Hell in the Cells you've seen, because that's really saying something. That's a really big compliment you're giving them, Raj, and I agree with you on it.
Yeah. Yeah, because it had gotten so watered down, especially when they started having a red cage, and they had to have a guys and a girls. It wasn't just the best feud. It was like, you know, you just had to have two Hell in the Cells on the show.
With no rhyme or reason as to why the two talents were in the middle of the ring.
Right.
So one couldn't get away or the other couldn't get away, and they have to settle it in the Hell in the Cell. And this was a long time coming, and they built to it perfectly.
Yeah. Want to get a couple of these chats in. Ebony Washington, a good friend, Ebony Washington, saying, "Hey, Max, that was an awesome show."
Hey, Ebony.
Keith George was wondering if Dominic's car was from his father Eddie's collection. Heel on 4 was saying Punk Drew should have been saved for the main event. Rock could have been saved for SmackDown. And other people in the chat have noted that Rock was there for a Georgia game. His schedule was not that flexible right now, where he can just appear wherever. So it was a cool surprise, even though, you know, a lot of people saw it coming. I had Rock in our thumbnail ahead of time because it kind of fell.
Oh, shut up! You were not expecting the Rock to be there,
dude. Check my tweets. No.
I believe that you put it in the thumbnail. I'm just gonna say this right now.
No, check my tweets.
I'm predicting. Hang on, that you were gonna predict that we were going to see a video from The Rock. You were not expecting Rock live.
Not true. I was. Because he was at the Georgia game on last night.
You don't if run a wrestling website if he anymore. Wasn't at that you game, just eat it and be like, no, you're right.
If he wasn't at the game, I wouldn't have thought it, for sure. I would have thought it's too soon.
That WrestleMania makes logical still, sense, but... actually. No, that doesn't make logical sense. But let me ask you this. Uh-huh. Can we fast forward to that? Because I didn't understand what this shit meant Rock was doing with his fucking fingers.
Well, no, he did like the, meant. Like, one of you is dead, right? Like,
okay, that was, I got that. That was clear.
Yeah.
But he went, and then did it. What did that mean?
Oh.
He gave one, two. He didn't give, he put the one finger up.
Uh-huh. He went,
I didn't
get that. He's with the bloodline and it's five of them. I don't know.
It'll make sense because I hate saying this because I wanted to do so well. And I said it. If you guys go back in time and watch our podcast, I said from day one when they decided to go full bore with poor Solo, he didn't ask for this, to be the so-called tribal chief while Roman was out. I said it. We all said it. Get Jacob in there now. Jacob Fatu can be your tribal or potential part-time tribal chief. It's more believable. Yeah. He's a way better promo. But instead, they got him playing a savage, and they got him doing this shit to a guy that he is way better than. It drives me nuts. I hate this. I cannot stand this. I know what you're thinking,
folks. Do you think that's leading to an eventual turn?
Well, folks, isn't that what you want? Because, like, he's building up Solo in that. Folks, the fans were chanting, "You can't wrestle to Solo tonight." That ain't a good look. Sorry, yeah. It's not a good look. Yeah. I had it myself.
I remember, Meltzer for months would say, like, it's going to be Solo and Roman at WrestleMania. There's no way. And plus, he just pinned Solo here. There's no way.
I hate to be an aesthetic guy, right? But my whole gimmick was I was a big muscular guy. So I'm going to say it here. Solo had all this time to get ripped up and get as shredded as he possibly could, do cardio for days, or show how bad he wants this. And he couldn't get slammed up for this? To come in the ring and look like the fat guy with Cody, who shredded, Roman was with Arnold fucking Schwarzenegger out there tonight. Like, I'm blown.
He was like Stallone in Rocky IV.
How does Solo not go, okay, I need to pick it up in the gym and in cardio and in my diet? Well, man, maybe he's trying. Maybe he has other issues going on. Shut up. Save it. This is the WWE where you're being put into Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns. The most over character in this company over the last 4 years. No question about it. No disrespect to Cody, but it's true. Okay? And they gave him this slot. He couldn't get in better shape. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. And I look at Jacob Fatu going, wow, that guy screams superstar. That guy screams WrestleMania main eventer waiting to happen.
And we'll come back to the main event and what they should do with The Rock at Mania here in a bit. But let's go through the rest of this PLE.
Do we have to?
Drew, I mean, both guys juiced, you know, years ago. They would have been fined $100,000 or what was it that Vince fined Batista? It was like, was it like 250?
Oh, with him and Jericho for Batista bleeding. Yeah.
Yeah. It was something insane.
I want to say 5 G's, maybe 10 G's.
No. It was six figures.
500?
I thought it was like 250, and then he reduced it to 100. but yeah, I'll look it up. But it was something little insane.
Little Vince has his finger on the pulse.
A great match. If you haven't watched it, go back.
Yes.
At the end of the match, they made it look like Drew was going to take out thumbtacks. And yeah, actually, WWE has not done thumbtacks in a long time. But AEW does it so often that I was like, man.
No. I like this. Storyline-wise, this made sense for him to ram it down Punk's throat. You want your cute little bracelet with your dog and your wife? Fuck you. Yeah. I'm going to shove it down your throat. That made perfect sense as a heel to be a dick.
Yeah, no, I loved it that it wasn't thumbtacks and that it was the beads. And then
you kind of, I guess you can say he quote unquote slipped on them as he was ramming up for the Claiborne, and that's what cost him, and he hit his back on the steps. I could not have done that. I'm being honest, at 100 tries, if you gave me that, I could never replicate it. No way.
It was awesome.
And so Punk, talented.
Yeah, CM Punk tied a chain above his knee, hit the GTS on Drew, got the win. He had stuffed Drew's mouth with the beads before he hit it. So everything came full circle. Like, it was such a great story, great ending. And then after the match, it wasn't like Punk just celebrated. They really sold the hell out of the brutality of that match. And they had Punk being helped out. They gave him oxygen outside the ring while he was going to the back. He, like, fell.
Loved it.
It was just those little things that just really make the match that much better, and it makes you feel like you just saw something really special.
Loved every bit of that at the end. That was probably my favorite part of how hard both talents sold that at the end. Loved it.
It's kind of like Punk needed oxygen, Drew didn't, you know, so it was still like it was Punk giving some shine to Drew as well by
absolutely really doing business.
Yeah. So they showed Miss Jackie, Lillian Garcia, and Booker T in the crowd.
Huge pop for Miss Jackie. Huge pop for Miss Jackie.
It's great seeing her. She looks amazing.
Always does. She never ages. Loved her in TNA when I got to wrestle there for as many years as I was. She's everybody loves Jackie.
Yeah, no, she's amazing. Up next, we had Nia Jax defeating Bayley to retain the WWE Women's Championship. I like the ending that they did. The match itself was, I thought it was fine. Nothing. It was there.
But let me ask you this before you say that it's there. You didn't like the final pin attempt?
I did.
When she let her legs go like flat on top of Bayley like that. I thought that was so dicky and heely.
Yeah.
And good for Bayley for doing business, be willing to do that. Cause I know the people like Bayley and Sasha before Sasha left. And the female talent in ring that can work like 5-star matches if they want to.
Yeah.
Realize they got to put her Nia Jax over right now for what's going to eventually come. That's going to be bigger than Nia Jax's championship run as an unstoppable monster.
Yeah.
And they're doing a good job. I give credit to Bayley for taking a pinfall like that. Cause when I was wrestling there, nobody would be willing to take a pinfall like that and be jabroned and kind of punked like that. And I give Bayley all the credit in the world for being professional enough to go, okay, it's not my time right now. There's a bigger story we're telling here. We're going to get back to it one day. So she has to chump me in this pen.
Yeah. And the story with Tiffany and Nia Jax, it's working. Because you saw like the little things that they did. The crowd reacted huge. Let me ask you a question.
So let's say Stratton does cash it. Tiffy does cash it in. And she does win. Is Tiffy going to get cheered like a week later? I don't think she will.
I don't know, because her personality, it would be hard to turn her baby face. It's almost like
I agree with that. Yeah. So maybe I think we're missing a baby face component of this that we're not seeing yet. I don't know what it is. I just calling it now.
Yeah.
Not so from Tiffy Stratton, by the way. Not from a third party character is my prediction.
Yeah. And so at the end, they had Tiffany run in, looked like she was going to cash in for a second, but she was actually using the briefcase to help Nia. The referee was down. That was one of the few like female referee bumps I think I've seen. They usually don't do that.
It was a good bump though, because Bayley, I'll say her name soon enough, her wrestling name, kicked Nia right in the frigging noggin from a laid out position, which made sense for the Nia to crush the ref. I thought that was a believable bump.
Yeah.
For the ref.
So cool stuff kept the, and then I did that Undertaker sit up and saw
when she looked up,
it looked like
that was cool.
Tiffany was cashing in. So it was cool. It was a cool.
That was cool. That's next, something good for highlight videos in the future, by the way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Up next, we had Damian Priest defeating tag team champion Finn Balor. Finn, I think, really needs a win at some point because.
Does he?
He just never wins.
I don't care. He can come out and be on fire at this point. Like, what the? I'm not trying to curse so much tonight, but I'm half asleep. Like, the face, half face paint under his eye. Ooh, we're so scared, Finn. You're still 4'10". Nobody's worried about you, brother. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a dick because he's talented in the ring, but, like, he's not. Didn't do enough of a job when he was in Judgment Day of being a main anchor there. It was always Damian. It just was.
Yeah. They have been doing a good job with Damian, though. And
Damian all day. I agree with that. Oh my God. Yes, definitely.
So I am still glad that Damian got the win here.
Okay. Yes. But he might have been gets a jobber. Dude, those guys are little freaking lollipop kids. Like, none of them could get on a roller coaster. None of them in Judgment Day. They're struggling. Some of them got to get on their tippy toes. I'm telling you.
Well, Raquel Rodriguez got. It looks like she might.
Well, she's the one that could get on the roller coaster. She's a beast. She's 5'10". Yeah.
But yeah, Damian, Carlito interfered. No one really cared. JD McDonagh interfered. And then at the end, Balor tried to coup de grace. Priest avoided it, hit the choke slam for the pin.
No shit. You don't say.
I want to point out, Ethan Kramer pointing out that it was $100,000 that Batista was fined for the Raw 800 episode. And I believe it was in his book or an interview. It was in an interview with Jericho. He said, "I was just heartbroken. Yeah. Vince McMahon sucked the life out of me that day." Then we had the Triple H announcement. He made a little Terra Ryzen pun. He noted that the crowd was 16,092. He said it was the largest arena gate in history, which when you think about it, that's gigantic, you know, the record shows that they've been doing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that'd be more than Madison Square Garden, you know, all these other shows that they've done. So that's
Madison Square Garden. People get very misconstrued, and I've wrestled at MSG. It's a very small arena versus some of these other, like, newer arenas that seat more people.
Yeah, and there was a lot of demand for this pay-per-view. Surprisingly, in that it's a B-show and not SummerSlam or WrestleMania. But for a B-show, it just had a ton of demand, and the secondary market tickets were priced so high.
Love it.
So Triple H said he plucked Crown Jewel. When he said Crown Jewel, the crowd actually booed.
Good, they should be. But no offense.
He said the event would feature the WWE champion facing the world champion with the men and the women. The titles wouldn't be on the line, but those winners would be crowned the Crown Jewel champion, and they showed a new belt. The belt looked cool.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's just it's
come
like
on.
The trophy
that dude, this is all for one thing. It's to friggin' just placate the rulers and those that are in charge and ruling the ruling class, if you will. Not if you will. They are the ruling class in Saudi Arabia. And WWE bends the knee every flipping time.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got to be honest on both sides. I love what WWE is doing. I love everything they're doing going to Netflix. I love what they're doing with their storylines. I love Hunter writing the stories. I love everything that this company is doing. I wish they could just give a fat double bird to Saudi Arabia. I really do.
Yeah. Too much money for them. But then the highlight happened of this segment, in my opinion. I'm a Goldberg fan. Gunther interrupted. So yeah, it's a meaningless belt. It's not a belt that's going to be defended. It's just one for this event.
How's Braun Strowman's belt doing? Has he shown that off lately when he won that battle royal and got that whatever
right, that
belt?
Trophy? I was just about to say it's dumb. Gunther interrupted. He said Bad Blood should have its world champion. I'm assuming Gunther will be world champion going into Bad Blood. It'll be him against Cody. Goldberg was in the crowd. He was at ringside. Gunther made a comment about how on Raw a couple weeks ago, Bret Hart was there. Gunther said that Goldberg was his favorite wrestler. He told
that
Goldberg,
was hilarious, by the way. It was such a good dig on Bret. No offense,
Gunther has gotten so good on the mic.
That was, listen to me. No offense. I know Gunther. He did not come up with that. Hunter fed him that. I give you my word he did. And said, look, this will get a big pop.
Yeah, it was a great troll line.
Yeah.
So Gunther told Goldberg that it was a lie. The best wrestler on earth couldn't be impressed with a one-trick pony like Goldberg. He told Goldberg's son Gage was there. He said, hopefully that Goldberg's a better father than a wrestler. And then, because Goldberg was laughing along, he made that line to Gage. And then Goldberg got pissed, tried to get in the ring. Security came. They stopped him. And then Sami Zayn ran out, attacked Gunther, and security got in. And at the end, Goldberg, they played his music. Goldberg's in the ring, celebrated. Crowd was going nuts for Goldberg. Triple H raised Goldberg's hand. So you think they're going to go with Gunther versus Goldberg?
Can I tell you what I care more about? That his kid Gage gets in the game at Colorado. That's all I care about.
That kid Gage, man. If football doesn't pan out, he's got a good look. He could possibly
he's
Sting's kids, Scott Steiner's kids. Jeez,
he's got a great look. I agree with that.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, all these kids are going to football. Well, Sting's kid, man. They look like they're Sting.
Both of them. Both of them look great. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, really cool. So we'll see. I mean, Gunther and Goldberg, I'd be in. I think Gunther could get a good match out of Goldberg.
Because they're not doing as much with Gunther right now, they're just not. He's right. He should have been on this card somewhere. He's the heavyweight champion. But I would have – if it is Goldberg, I love Goldberg, but no offense, dude, it's got to be like a five-second match, and Gunther just annihilates him. It has to be that way. If it happens. Yeah.
Our good friend Majestic Marie, we were talking about Bad Blood tickets. The Bad Blood tickets were very high. They wanted $250 just for nosebleeds. So just couldn't do it this time. That is, that's crazy.
Hang on. I know Marie. Marie, do you think I care? Like, I don't care if you're paying all that. I don't want you to pay that money. We don't charge you that. I don't blame you.
Get the pay-per-view and watch us.
Yeah, screw that ish. Watch it on Peacock like the rest of us. Best seat in the house.
Yeah. Brandon S. bringing this up with the $5 super chat. Thank you, Brandon. He was with your comment earlier about his hand gestures. Brandon saying there were three men in the ring. The Rock counted to three. So I'm assuming he means all three are done, maybe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just got a free coffee with my EarnaFi points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarnaFi app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnifiRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.
I'm brain farting on their names, which is disrespectful because I like both of the guys, the brothers. What's the names? The newer bloodline, Raj.
Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa.
So disrespectful, man. Those two, and who's the third then? Hopefully Solo. No, I'm joking.
Solo, Jacob Fatu.
It can't be Jacob.
Tonga
Rock smart enough to see money in Jacob. The whole world, you could be Stevie Wonder and see money in freaking Jacob Fatu.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm interested though. I'm very interested. I'd be lying if I said I didn't go holy bleep as loud as I could when the Rock came out tonight.
So, this just happened. Kevin Owens, like off screen. Just turned on Cody Rhodes, like outside, like near, like Cody was near his bus, his tour bus, and Kevin Owens just attacked him. So
nobody cares, Kevin. Nobody cares. Now but we don't care. No, we just got reintroduced to The Rock again. We had Shredded Roman out there, super duper 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 main eventer. We don't care about you at this point, KO. No offense.
Yeah, I think and he hit please him
don't
car.
Drag Cody. No. And please don't drag Cody down with you.
Well, they need something for Cody for the next couple months before.
No, we don't. We just have to wrestle. He can do promos, and we can get to what the hell The Rock was talking about. What's this stuff going on with him and Roman? I'm perfectly okay waiting till we get to that point. And I don't want to be dragged down with that crap. KO's talented. I'm not saying he's not. Yeah. But the time to hit that was 3 weeks ago. And they didn't do it. They should have.
So they showed DDP, Mickey James, and Scott Steiner in the crowd. Man, Scott Steiner and WWE have come a long way in their relationship.
They kind of have to. They have to.
Do you remember he was literally Roman banned?
Bro, their next Roman Reigns is his freaking nephew. So they have to.
I'm just saying it's just kind of funny because he's the only person I've ever seen at a Hall of Fame ceremony where he was banned and they had a photo of him. So like the event people knew, like if Scott Steiner showed up, that he wasn't allowed in.
Let me guess. Was Hogan talking or was Hogan being presented?
Yeah,
or something?
Yeah. Hogan,
there you go.
Yeah.
Because I was there. I'm not joking. I saw Steiner go to like Hulk and his family at a baggage care. What would we call it? The baggage carousel when you're waiting for your bags. Dude, I watched it.
What?
He's so gangster. He doesn't care. Scott doesn't care.
So you just happened to be walking by or were you with Scott or?
No, I was with him. We were on a, we were. Yes. Yes.
That's crazy.
Doesn't care. He doesn't care.
Dude, gotta love it.
I could have crawled in a hole, I would have. But I'm grateful in retrospect that I didn't, and I got to witness it and go, God, this guy's gangster.
Jeez. some people are attacking you for saying you don't care about the Kevin Owens thing. A lot of people are saying you should have watched SmackDown.
Ask me how much I care. I don't.
I'm looking forward to it. I like. I think Cody and Kevin Owens. I'm all for Cody having something.
No, they missed. No. Don't babyface these folks. They missed the mark. They had the mark 3 weeks ago, when it would have been at its height, when it would have made sense, and it would have mattered. I don't want a butter knife stabbing after a gunshot that we just had hit tonight with The Rock and Roman. No offense to KO. He's not on their left, and it's going to drag Cody down. All right. But man, he wrestles in his shirt. I can relate.
Heel Morgan. Matt's going, a savage tonight.
Heel Morgan. Keep going.
Next up, I thought this was the weakest thing on the show. The ending was just a big cluster. Rhea Ripley defeating Liv Morgan by DQ.
Wait, Dominic, you thought this match and whole setup was the weakest, or just the ending?
No, the end. I thought the end was such a fart in church, it kind of killed the whole thing.
Wait, can we give props to Dom?
Yeah,
I'm
Dom
telling
was
you
great.
Right now, if they asked me, oh, by the way, because I am scared heights too, as tall as I am, as moronic as that is, I would have been very pissed to say, oh, by the way, you got to fall out of the frigging shark cage with your leg attached to some gimmick and you got to hang there forever while Rhea Ripley just beat you like a pinata. Like, what?
Yeah.
But he's such a heel. And there is one thing I didn't like is that the fans were chanting against Dom when, you know,
right,
Liv was getting her heat on Rhea. That tells me Liv's got to do that. WWE's got to do more to position Liv in a more offensive position that she can hold her own when the time comes. And I thought she showed that tonight. I really did. I thought this match was in the ring was very good. Actually, I like the psychology. I like that. Of course, a smaller opponent's going to work a bigger opponent's leg. And I thought Rhea showed something that we don't get a lot of chance to see more times than not. And that's her selling. And she did a great job selling her knee and her leg tonight.
Yep.
She is such an all-around package. It's just disgusting how good she's going to be because you hear Hunter say it time and time again that she's still just scratching the surface of her potential. And he's not just like saying that in hyperbole. He's telling the truth, and I saw it tonight. I'm like, holy ish. So she can sell. She can cut promos. She looks like a monster. She's attractive. She has every single thing that makes people want to pay money to see and pay tickets to see her.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I watch her, I'm being honest, Raj. Mm-hmm. I'm more interested in watching Rhea Ripley more times than not than I am the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's such a believable character.
Mm-hmm.
Overly believable.
Yeah, I think she's great. And you talk about like people that really benefited from the regime change from Vince to Triple H. I mean, Rhea's at the top of the list. I actually really like this match until. Once Rhea started killing Dom with the kendo stick, I thought that was really creative. Dom being able to pick the lock, get out, and then he's hanging there. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I haven't.
So that was really cool. And then Rhea beating the hell out of him. That was awesome. And then she gets attacked by behind by Raquel Rodriguez, came back. And then everything just kind of fell apart. It just fell flat.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But let me ask you this really quick. Mm-hmm. So Rhea Ripley is the baddest bleep on in the land, right? Mm-hmm. I've always felt Raquel Rodriguez is the one that can give her a run for her money if she's ever been booked correctly. If she's just going to be the heater for Liv, it won't work. She has to be more than just Liv's heater. She cannot be her diesel to, you know, to Shawn Michaels, right? She has to be bigger and better than that. They got to treat her that way.
Yeah.
Hopefully they do.
Raquel helped Liv afterwards. So presumably she's a member of the Judgment Day now. So, you know, I'm all for Raquel. I think they should have ended it with a pin. You know, you have Raquel interfere and then Liv pins Rhea. Because these DQ finishes, like, they hardly do them at all anymore. This is the first one I can remember since the Royal Rumble when they did Kevin Owens and Logan Paul.
Let me ask you another question. Mm-hmm. Didn't Rhea take a pinfall to her last time they wrestled or no?
Yes. Yeah. So I see what you mean. Like, you don't want her losing twice in a row.
I mean, I'll be honest, I kind of don't disagree with you, though. I wouldn't have had a terrible problem with it because a 5'10" stud that's bigger than Rhea took her out to do it. Like, I wouldn't have had a problem with that because it does protect Rhea's size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
But I get overall what you're saying with the finish. I do.
Yeah. So. So then it was on to the main event. I feel like overall it worked out, but a 5-match pay-per-view should not, or PLE, should not be over 3 hours. If you only got 5 matches, even though you have the Triple H announcement, the segment.
Was that it? It was 5 matches that took 5 hours?
It was 3.5 hours. But yeah.
Boy, vey, it felt like 5 hours though, Raj.
but I wouldn't have cut any time from that Hell in a Cell, but I
felt like
you could have done some other stuff too. But anyway, we're on to the main event, Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes against Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu. They had the University of Arkansas marching band playing Cody Rhodes to the ring. As you mentioned, they did that on ESPN at a game like a month ago or something. It was
very popular. It was very viral on social media.
Yeah. And we were talking before, I was saying with the Mega Powers, if this is Mega Powers 2.0, this was all due respect to Randy Savage because Macho Man's my guy, my favorite wrestler of all time.
Yeah,
but in terms of star power, Roman is Hogan and Cody is Savage. Just in terms of star power, I'm a Macho Man guy.
My comment then.
They had Cody Rhodes doing most of this stuff at the beginning. Him and Roman, Roman kept asking him over and over, do you want to start? Are you going to start?
So just in general, Roman has been, and we said, we texted us back and forth. Both of us said it. This is the best shape he's ever been in. We're including going into WrestleMania. He was shredded. He was bigger, plus being shredded, which is next to impossible to do, folks, just for those of you that go into the gym every day. He figured it out. He's got a lot of off time, and he has been working his ass off. There's no question about it. He looked so good physically as a just monster and an overall stud superstar. That's what a superstar looks like. Same with Cody. Same with Jacob Fatu. Not the same for Solo. But continue.
Yeah. No, Roman looked like he looked amazing. I thought it was the best he's ever looked. And like you said, shredded, you know, again, it's like a Stallone from Rocky 1 and 2 to 3 and 4, where he just got to like,
folks, super shredded. Folks, if I'm BSing you, half of his body's tattooed, which means when I do men's physique shows, and when I compete against a guy with tattoos all over his chest and his abs, I'm like, oh, I'm going to blow him out of the water because you're not going to see his cuts because this idiot got tattoos all over it. Look at Roman Reigns' back. Especially toward like the end of the match, he has like footballs for rear deltoids all of a sudden. Like, he looks incredible, even with the tattoos covering his physique. So impressed.
He's spending all that free time just in the gym because he looks fantastic.
Killing it.
Yeah. So the finish of the match, it really started slow, really picked up. It was awesome by the end. They even did that, you know, when Jacob Fatu did that splash from the top rope onto Cody at SummerSlam, they switched that this time to Cody doing it onto Jacob Fatu. It was a really cool spot.
Great storytelling, more importantly. Great storytelling by Michael Cole. Great job.
Yep, absolutely. And at the end, Tonga and Tongaloa appeared, did the distraction, allowed Sikoa to hit the spear for a near fall. And then someone in a hoodie showed up. He super kicked Tonga and Loa, and it turned out to be the returning Jimmy Uso. The crowd went nuts. It was a really cool moment.
I thought that was Jay. I really did, because they're obviously twins. But everyone's yelling yeet. Like, if you go back and watch it again, you had a minority of the crowd chanting yeet. And I was like, all right, it's obvious Jay's coming back. Because it was Jimmy, I loved that plug and play. I love they brought him back. And I love they brought him back in that particular moment. Great for him, because he's having to watch all this. And it's got to be frustrating.
right?
Knowing he's an OG, right? Bloodline member. And so happy for him. I think everybody was.
Yeah.
And then he kicked some major ass along with Roman.
Yeah. And so Roman.
Keep going if you would be finishing it. Sorry.
I was just going to say Roman hit the spear on Solo. So Roman pinned Solo to win the match.
Keep going, though, because there was some great storyline layering here with Roman. Yeah. Be like, no, Jimmy's like, come on, we can't let Uso go out like that. You gave him your word. You gave him your word, Uso. Let's go. And Roman's like, no, I give my word once for the match. That was great. Such great storytelling. I love that detail. Right.
So after the match, Rhodes got to his feet. They had a stare. He had a stare down with Roman, and then Roman left with Jimmy. And then, the bloodline came back and started attacking Cody. And then what you said.
Four against one.
Yep. And then because Roman was hesitant to go back and help him. Jimmy talked him into it. They went, cleaned house.
He wasn't hesitant. He said he's not doing it. I loved it.
Loved it. Bloodline bailed. Cody picked up the WWE title. Roman's kind of looking at it, handed it over. Like the little subtle things. Like there's like eight different storylines going on here between Jimmy and just Fatu. And then the Rock's music hits.
Paul, that's crazy. Why I was not expecting it. I thought the slow burn was obviously Roman looking at the title, slowly giving it to Cody. We're about to go off the air. A Rock's music hit, guys, just like every one of you. I hope you were not too cool to admit this, because I'm not. I was a 9-year-old kid all over again. Holy shit! Screaming in my house as loud as I could.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome.
I went bananas when Rock's music hit.
Yeah. Rock came out, just kind of had a stare down, didn't say anything.
He didn't need to.
Yeah, exactly. And it's too soon.
I was not expecting that, Raj. I was not at all expecting it.
Yeah. You got to follow me on Twitter, man.
Listen, you don't run a fucking Mark site anymore. Stop trying to be, oh, I knew this was going to happen. Be surprised from time to time and be a wrestling fan again, dude. Come on.
I was very pleasantly surprised. Not surprised.
I'm glad I didn't. How about this? I'm glad I didn't see your tweets. And I'm glad that wasn't spoiled for me, because I went like 9-year-old Matt Morgan maniac. I couldn't believe it, because I was halfway half asleep. I'm tired. I'm ready to go to bed.
Yeah.
Pajamas, hence the LeBron Cavs jersey from 15 years ago. But that was a big moment. Big moment.
That was huge. So you have all these big WrestleMania main events you could do. You got Cody versus Roman. You got Roman versus Rock. You got Cody versus Rock. Who does the Rock face? Obviously, they built it for Cody after WrestleMania, on the Raw after Mania. But now, with where they're at now, doesn't Roman seem like the bigger match, Roman versus Rock?
Can I just bring up one quick thing before I answer that? Why did freaking Rock bring his participation freaking championship belt again? How has he not gotten the message? He looks like he's cool. We all think he's the coolest guy ever in wrestling history, right? He's the Arthur Franz really of wrestling. Dude, don't be bringing like a bootleg FTW hand given to you a championship that nobody ever won or earned. It's corny as hell.
Right.
And the fact that Cody put it over, that really bothered me and pissed me off. I'm like, what are you placating this? I get he's your boss. You kind of have to. You have a choice, Cody. But at the same time, I'm like, come on. You don't want to hold his title. Wipe your ass with throw in the crowd. But at the same time, Jacob Fatu's higher up here than I think we think he is, Raj. I do. I think they need to make a gear shift, and no disrespect to Solo. He did the best job he could with giving an impossible task. Saying, hey, oh, by the way, you're the guy that's going to fill in for the tribal chief who has been a champion for the last 3+ years running. And you're going to be his fill-in. Like, come on, that's impossible. So he, I'm not saying he's failed at it, but he's not done a great job with it, with no disrespect to him. He tried as hard as he could, but it doesn't work. It doesn't fit. It will not work. So they need to transition and gear shift, in my opinion, Raj. They got to get Jacob Fatu higher up and stop this shit. He's not Taz. He's not Kevin Nash. He's a Diesel. He's not the bodyguard. And the ass kicker of the bloodline. I'm sorry. He can cut promos and talk circles around Solo. And if anybody doesn't believe me, watch, like, I'm serious. Watch MLW and watch other promotions he's wrestled in. He's a great all-around wrestler, a main event star all around. He has no weakness. So I don't like that they're putting him in the spot. But again, I still think Cody's not going to be pushed out of here, Raj. He's just not. It's going to be Cody in that main event. It's just the question is it The Rock or is it versus Roman?
Okay. And presumably you'd think The Rock, because The Rock, but you know, you could do Rock and Roman without the title too. Ricky Tiki Bobby, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but $5 super chat. Thank you, buddy. When do you think we see Rock again? I think he's going to go after Cody and kick Roman and Jimmy out of the family when he comes back.
We all assume that. When we saw Solo take over, Ricky, come on, why does that have to be your name? Ricky Tiki Bobby, come on, dude, you're killing me. All right, Ricky, that's your new name. I think everybody, when we saw Solo stepping up, we all, I think we said on the podcast, so me and Raj both, that this is obviously being at the direction of The Rock. That was our guess in the beginning. Because it was, how's the muscle going to all of a sudden become the quote-unquote replacement tribal chief? It doesn't make sense. He's not got enough airtime. He's got none. He had zero promo time. So it would only make sense if The Rock did this until The Rock came back. And The Rock said, give me that shit. But the how do you say it?
Yes.
Whatever the gimmick is that they put, the tribal chief puts around their neck, respectfully, and just did that and put him in there as a placeholder, then this all would make so much more sense. And now you have a superstar as the quote-unquote tribal chief. And you can even go back, Raj, to when I showed you, but when Rock did that promo in Vegas and showed the family chair. I'm like, this mother effer. He, if you look closely and you zoom in on Rock's name, he's calling himself like some title that's bigger than Tribal Chief, and nobody's putting it over because nobody's zooming in like a loser like I was and trying to see what he said. But I'm like, so the storyline wise, that would make more sense. So then I'll accept the Solo filling in until Rock comes back, and then he puts the I feel like I'm saying it.
Yeah, I was totally slipping my mind right now, but yeah.
I still think I'm saying it wrong.
But... Ulafa? No. Dang it.
And I should know my wife's not listening to me. She would kick my ass if I didn't say that correctly.
Right. Pronouns pal would bring it up. Did you guys miss the fast cars driving around the streets of Detroit? I think that was just a vignette for the Motor City Machine Guns.
What?
Yeah.
I missed it. No, I didn't. Where was it? In between what matches?
So it's when they do the ads, and then you know the. So one of those they showed Detroit, like they showed like Ford Field, and so yeah, the Motor City Machine Guns are coming in. They're not going to NXT. They're going straight to the main roster.
Let's go! I'm so excited for Chris. Both of them, I am.
Yeah, another thing they did.
10 years past the time, but I'm still happy for them to make a payday out of this.
Yeah. And also on SmackDown, AJ Styles, he did this thing where it looked like he got injured, but that was just an angle. It's just part of a story. So
Wasn't real?
Yeah. That was an angle.
I'm still waiting for him to text me back like a complete mark. I swear to God.
That's awesome when they get you, you know, because you've seen it all. So, yeah.
And good for him for not answering it.
Nice. Dick. Yeah. So, yeah, that was awesome. So, overall, how would you grade the pay-per-view?
Loved it. I did because you said it best, Raj. It was bookended perfectly. WWE always does that perfectly. Mm-hmm. No matter what they know what's coming up on the card, they always start hard and heavy, something that we all love or we don't love, but it makes us emotionally feel something. And then at the end of the night, same exact thing. They do such a great job. It's just major league. And I know I sound like I'm over them, but it's the truth. They deserve it. They do. Their storyline telling is so deep and layered at this point. And it's not just one or two storylines. It's all the storylines. It's what we used to talk about, Raj. What made the Attitude era so successful was that we could watch Rikishi and Scotty Too Hardy and like Grandmaster Sexy being in these storylines. Like, wait, they're the number one match of the night, but yet why do I care about them so much? Right. And D'Lo Brown, etc. It was like that all Val Venus. It was nonstop. Right. And I do think WWE has done that again in this current era and regime under Hunter. I swear on it.
Yeah. I mean, if you just look at the show, all five matches had a meaning. It had a storyline. It had a purpose. And they have so many stories going on right now that they can fit, like Kofi and Xavier Woods, what's going on with them?
Yeah.
And, you know, Sami Zayn and Gunther.
Gunther. The unbeatable Gunther was not on the card.
Right.
Like, that's how they, you're right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a really good pay-per-view. Again, bookended, really strong start, really strong beginning. So if you haven't seen it, go out of your way to watch those two matches.
1 to 10, what do you give it, pay-per-view, overall?
I think because the middle was a little meh, I'd give it an 8.
The middle or just that one match with Finn and Omi, Damian Priest?
I thought the Crown Jewel announcement was kind of,
I agree.
But the Gunther Goldberg stuff was good. So, you know, it ended up being a good segment. Yeah, I'd say an 8. It was a good show.
Let me rewind the time. Rock just comes out, goes, music hits, people are going bananas, losing their mind, throwing babies in the air. And he does the whatever the hell he does, and walks out. If you had to give it a score then, what would you have given it? Same?
An 8's really good. I mean, how often?
Okay. I give it 8.5. 8.5,
wow.
Because,
For a B-show, really good.
I loved the Punk finish. I really did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved everything in that match. The whole so well told. And the physicality, the brutality that they used the cage and all the weapons for it. Everything meant something so much more.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Matt. That's twice in just a few days. This is a new record for us for a while. So this was a lot of fun. But you can follow him at BP Matt Morgan. You can follow me at The Raj Geary. Check out my newsletter, Practical Money. I talk about my two fund ETF portfolio that has been beating the market for years. Check it out. Yeah. Two funds. That's all you need. Beat the market and get rich.
Speaking way over my head, brother. You lost me. That's why they pay you the big bucks, not me.
practicalmoney.co. And thank you all for tuning in. And pretty soon, Matt, will you be doing the NXT podcast with Glenn every Tuesday or just once?
Yeah. Tuesday? Yes.
So it's not this coming week. Glenn is on vacation again. But the following week.
Get it in, Rise. Get it because it gets you. So good for you.
Exactly. So every Tuesday, we'll be having a post-NXT review with Matt and Glenn. So make sure to check that out. And join us next time here on Gigantic Pop. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.
Thank you.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.